was one after the other. We decided on our races, and we did some neural programming on how to get pumped up and feel good and not fear losing and that kind of stuff. Sent the whole crew out, went to Woodbine. We all met at Champions Toronto. Bill knows where that is. He's been up a few times. And we sent everyone out. And there was one horse in the first race that was getting bet down to 4-5. We threw the horse out. So there's no way this horse is going to win. There's only two possible winners in this race that can run these paces. And we had all our bets in. And we said, let's put the horse in the computer. Hey, he's bet down to 4-5. Did we miss something? Did we make a mistake? We put the horse in the computer, and guess what happened? What do you think happened? Yeah. We fooled the computer. We put a horse that did not belong, that we threw out, into the computer, and because it was a slow horse, and it had a monster third fraction, it confused everything, and it made it look as if Slim Adam would win. And we tried it in thoromation, we tried it in energy, we tried it in phase through, we had like 16 computers on the track, and everyone went around, we couldn't believe it. So then came the ultimate question, who are you gonna believe? So what happened? We stuck to our guns, said the pace analysis should work, and Slim Adam didn't win, and we won our bet. Now, the moral of the story is, when you get that good at analyzing the pace, you can use your computer as it should be used, a tool. You can't get tight, and I'll tell you, one of the dangers is that you get so used to seeing the ones or the horse running across that you start to believe it. It will be right 95% of the time with the right contenders. It will be wrong probably 95% of the time if you have the wrong horse in. That's what this should help you with. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take you to do it. I don't know how much time you each individually spend. But after you've got it to that stage, here's the final stage. I'd ask you to, first of all, you mark in the running times. Then you project the first three calls. And when you've got the final times within 3/5, 80% of 50 races, just select for me the winner out of three horses. And then, in other words, just make your own selection in your head and say, listen, one of these horses has got to win. Limit it to three and do that 80% of 50 races. And don't go like this. Don't do this. Don't say that. Let me tell you a quick little story. Because what you have to do is now 80% of 50 races, choose the winner. And it has to be in your top three. And guess what? Those are the top three that are going to go in your computer. And that's where your win percents are going to go from 40% to 90%. Now I'll tell you a story in a sec, but I have a question.
We're selecting three horses and the winner at the same time.
Okay. We have race one at start and dance. We predict that the race will be 22, 45, 110. We have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 contenders. What I'm going to say is choose three. Choose the three that you think will benefit from this part of the race and will run within, you tell me, 2 lengths, 3 lengths, see, every race is going to be different. You may have 3 or 4 horses. You'll have to decide, and of course you've done this, you know, 100 races ago, you've decided who's going to have the lead. You know who's going to be at the half at 45. I mean, you've got that nailed. You know that the race will run in about 110. And you know that 80% of the time you're going to be within 3/5 of a second. You mentioned what that's doing to you. And now I'm saying, well, of all these horses, which one do you think can win? You say, well, there's only one. Great. Put it down. Well, this guy could pick up because, like, I haven't got the pace exact, and, like, he's going to face a 45, but I've only got, like, a 45 and 3s. I don't know how much do that. That's another seminar. That's voodoo handicapping. That's when you go phone Jim up. And I'm learning it too. That's when, all right, 45 and 3/5, 2/5, and then take it up a second. He'll run a 109 and 1 and 0.2. And he's always right. And now he does it. I'm learning it. I'll teach that to you next year. What you have to do is just nail this pace and choose three contenders. You will get the winner 80% of the time with three horses. Now, if you can do that, and you put those in your computer, Do you have any idea what your win percents will be? Would you like to know? Yeah, I'm getting wrapped up here. I think I get wrapped up in my work. We took four people who have never been in the Sarkin methodology. They all got phase three in synergism. They were sent to me, and I sat down. They brought in their yellow manual. They had tears in their eyes. They had their computer programs. One guy was an accountant. Another one was a horse person. Another one was an avid player of the race type, but never touched the Sarkin methodology. And the last one was the school teacher. So I sat all four around, and they said, "We're going to get this with one learner." I said, "Fine." We went through this whole procedure. We took 1 hour, and basically did what I did with you. The only thing we did differently, I cut out little horses and marked them Mr. Early, Mr. Presser, saying we did that. I think you're beyond that. They understood it. They went out, and within 1 week, three of them figured that they could get the early horse 80% of the time. One was still working on it. By the second week, they had worked up enough races that they had nailed the second call within two-fifths, 80% of 50 races. And you could start seeing a psychological change in their face. Because they used to meet them every day at the tracks, and how you doing? Who's going to get the lead? What's the pace? Okay, let's see what happens. They would go up and watch the board. They'd look at the odds. They'd look around. And when the race came out, they would go out and watch the race. What a novel idea. They'd watch the horse. They would see and get involved with the race. And they got excited. They had fun. Isn't that different? You know, they weren't buried in the computer. They weren't looking at the printouts. They were watching the horse race. Fantastic. They marked down on their program. This is called the program technique. Very, very complicated. You mark down your projected pace. And you mark down early impression on your horses. And then you mark down the actual time of level. See how good you were. Does it sound silly? They started betting amongst each other who would be closest. So now we got people competing to see how close they can come to projecting the pace of the race. These people have now rounded the corner. They get 80% of the time the winners within three. So in other words, they can select the winner of any race that they choose to play 80% of the time. Now I let them put them in the computers. Their win percents are above 75%. Their average mutual, I'd say $8 to $10. And I've told them that they're not really doing well enough. And most of them are trying to get it better because they didn't know any different. Isn't that amazing? They're winning like 75%, 10 bucks.
One or two horses?
One horse, by the way. Yes. Now, let me qualify that. When you have this under your belt, and when will you know you have it under your belt? When you can do it 80% of 50 races, okay? That's when you know it. How do you bet? Well, that becomes a whole new story. Because when you have that much insight in the race, and you've been doing this over and over and over, and you get so good at it, you can do it, you can start looking at the race and saying, you know what? There's only one horse in this race. I mean, really. Right? Okay? So, are you going to bet three horses or double Dutch or double, and stand on the soft 17 and double Dutch? Are you going to bet two horses? No. You're going to bet one horse. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if you knew that there's two horses within a fifth, and you put them in your computer, and they were a dead lock. I mean, they were so close, you couldn't separate them. Wouldn't that be the time to Dutch two horses? Wouldn't that be the time to do it? He's just now plugging me into here. The Canadian's on the roll here. Thank you, Chase. Now, what happens if you get four horses that are so close that you can't separate them? Say goodbye, El Paso. Hey, what is the first step in getting what you want? Think about it. What's the first step? What's the first step in getting what you want?
Knowing
what you want. What do you want? Winners? You want winners?
Now.
Money. Now we're getting down to it. You guys went and spent how much money to get here? You came to Las Vegas, you gave up time. You're not out at the shows. You're here to learn. You're here to be winners. Let's get down to it. What is the reason you want to do this? Racing is an... Hey, write this down. Write this down. This is the Circle Canada motto. Ready? This is from your friendly Canadians that get stuck at the border when they have money. Now you're going to find out why. Racing is the name of the game. Please write it down. Money is how you keep score. And laugh at it if you will. So you talk to a guy who's got an 85% win ratio, or like he 30% won horse. Who cares? You know, do you care if he bets exactors or try actors or wins, who cares? I'm making my living at the racetrack. I don't do anything else. And we have horses, but owning horses, you don't really own them. They own you. If you knew the feed bills of horses, they're amazing. The only reason we do that is that we have a legitimate reason to go to the racetrack. I make my living totally from the racetrack, and we've had a wonderful time. And the next 6 months is exactly what we're going to be doing. We're traveling all over the place, having a wonderful time. I only tell you that to reinforce that it can be done. Now, if your goal is to make money, well, then how are you going to bet? If you have this strength and understand it, you're going to hear a couple of different ways of handling money, but if you're that good, you don't need a money management system. I mean, heck, if you're winning 70% of your races, how much do you want to put on these horses?
All you can.
That's just about it. Now, what I'm going to say is we've looked at a couple of different ways, and we're trying to work up some different patterns, and I'm working on that right now. But let me just say, give you a couple of examples. And let me show you how good you are at this already. I've got a race here, and there's four early horses in it. All these horses run about 22:45, and they all come home in about 1:10 and 2. Okay? Four early horses, A, B, C, and D. They all run roughly the same. I'll be damned if I can figure out who's got the lead. There's a presser in there that runs about a 1:11. And there's a sustain horse that runs a 1:10. That's the race for me. I'll give you $1,000 to bet on the race. You got four earlies. They all run around 22:45, 1:10. And two. And you've got one sustain that runs about a 1:10 and one. And a presser that runs 1:11. That's the race for me. Okay. What are the odds? Who cares? I know. Do you know the odds? I'm just teasing you a bit here. What's going to happen in this race? Four horses. Actually, one horse did have to come out after the race. Four horses are going to go and compete for the lead. They are all early horses. Their mission in life is to get the lead. What is going to happen? They're going to burn up. 22:45 is going to become a 21 and change, a 44 and change, and they're going to do whatever they possibly can to get the lead, and they will not give up until they get it. And when they don't get it, they're going to die. So the one horse that does get the lead has been forced to run a 44 and 3. And that's cost them 2/5 of a second at least. So without getting into the ramification of voodoo handicapping and what it costs them on the front, the horse rolled 1:10 and 2, he's run faster, and he's going to run a 1:11 anyways. What's the one horse in there that's sort of consistent? It's the same. You know what it is? I chickened out. Now you're looking at one of the top money makers. How did I bet the horse? Put $1,000 show on. The horse won. The sustained horse won, and I didn't have my money on him to win, but he paid $4 to show. Now, I'm just sort of doing this to you psychologically. I don't know how you feel about getting $4 on a show mutual, but if I took my money to any Canadian bank and said, here, hold this for a minute and 10 seconds and give me a return on it, they wouldn't give me that. And by the way, it's legal. You know, you can double your money, it's legal, and you do it one day, and you know. And let me ask you something else. How many races a day does it take you to become a winner at the racetrack?
One.
One? Six? One winner. Now think about this for a minute. Just think about this. There are so many ways of looking at the races. I'm just going to give you some food for thought. I think we've covered this. I'm going to check with you in a few minutes to see if you really got it down. And let me leave you with this. Depending on how well and fast you work at this, within 2 or 3 weeks, you should be able to nail the early horse 50% of the time. You should be able to get the first two fractions within 2/5. And no doubt within 3 weeks or a month, you'll be able to project the final time within 3/5 of a second. That's how good you're going to become. When you have that information, do you have any concept of how easy it's going to be going to be to take a baseline? If you know the race is going to be 22, 45, 110, what baseline are you going to look for?
22, 45, 110.
If the pace is going to be 22, 45, and 110, and you're so confident that you've been doing this 80% of the time, would you choose a 44?
No.
Would you choose a 46?
No.
You choose a 45. This seems so blatantly simple, doesn't it? Now, go back and look in some of the manuals, some of the pace lines that have been selected. Now, you wanted to have something that was nuts and bolts. You wanted to have something to rely on. You wanted to have something that would work a lot of the time. This works a lot of the time. I can tell you, my wife and I, last time in Las Vegas, decided that we wanted to emulate our hero, who was Jim Bradshaw. And that's because the year before, we watched him at Saratoga. And we noticed that he didn't take his computer. We noticed that he did this all by voodoo handicapping or eyeball scan. And we did all our races in advance, and we just sat back at Saratoga and watched him. We watched Purdy, we watched Schmidt, we watched them all. They all won. They all had their own systems. There is nothing that is all right and nothing is all wrong. The one thing that we noticed about Jim is that he seemed to be able, the first thing he said, who's got the lead? He wanted to set up the tension of the race. Who runs best off that pace? You know, when he looks down the racing form, and like we've been working on this for 2 hours, and Bradshaw comes over and says, out, 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 one of those two, that one, and he walks out. That's how he did it. I mean, that and a lot of other techniques that he's forgotten more than all know. But the point is, that's a start. That'll give you a handle to work on. Now, if you're that good at it, that's the pool. You got a horse you want to play. That's the win. So there's always a little less in the place, and a little bit less in the show. Now, from your own tracks, now in Woodbine on the weekend, our wind pools are around anywhere from $100,000 to $600,000. And there's anywhere from a low of $20,000 to a high of $100,000 to win. And $30,000, $40,000 to place, and sometimes $20,000 to show. How much of that money would you like to have?
All of it.
All of it. Okay. You can't have all of it. Somebody else has to win too. What I'm going to suggest is, and I would say that probably one of the absolute masters at money management is Dick Schmidt. He's going to be talking to you later, and I'm sure he'll go into this in great depth. But I want you to think, if you've got it nailed down to one horse, do you want to take it out of this bag of money? Do you want to take it out of this bag of money? Or do you want to take it out of that bag of money? If you went and put $1,000 on a horse, or $10 on a horse, or $2 on a horse, and you came away with $4 and doubled your money, is that okay? Yeah, I know. Could you get $200 out of it? Of course, if you had. But the point is, what is the purpose of going to the racetrack? Make money. Is the purpose of going to the racetrack giving the racetrack money? No. You want to take money out of it? Please consider that there's so many possibilities of taking money out of the races. My intention is to make sure that you understand to nail your contenders and pace lines in. So just as a little way of looking at it. We were at a couple examples of them to see how you do it. Got four horses. Number A is an early horse. He runs 22, 45, 110. In fact, mark it down. a good example. You can play this with your Chris. A, 22, 45, one take. You pick them out of the line, three back, two back, one back. The variant looks about the same as all the other horses. Everything looks about the same, same track, no big deal. 22, 45, 110. He went wire to wire. Okay? Your second horse is a predator because he's back in the middle of the pack. And you took him off a race where he came from 22, 44 and finished in 110. He won that race. Number C, 22, 45, 110. He's a predator. And D, he's a come-from-behind horse, a sustained horse. He's 22, 45, 110. Imagine if you're doing speed figures on this. They all have 110. Imagine if you did ragged sheets. You know, all these horses are running 110. You know, like, you know, how could you possibly do this? What would happen if you put this in the computer? And that'd be interesting. Why don't you go put it in the computer? That's why I asked you to write it down. Okay? 22, 45, 110, 22, 44, 110, 22, 45, 110, 22, 45, 110. Anyone know who's going to win the race? Oh, we got some people going, yeah, okay. All right. The $100,000. This is the last race of the day. You got a good evening, guys. Okay. Who bets on A? We got two at the back. 22, 45, 110. Going to go wire to wire. Okay. Who's going to bet on B? Whole bunch of people. Why? Why'd you bet on B?
He's got to ride him slower, so he should close that.
We'll come back to this horse. Who's going to bet on C? One, two. Who's going to bet on D? Sustained horse, 110. Okay. So we got a mixed bag here. Let me give you something to consider. Analyze this race. Who's going to be on the lead? What final time will he run? No? Oh, okay. I heard something interesting. I said, what's he going to run? And I heard a 111. Okay. Let's do this. Who's going to have the lead in the first call? A. Who's going to have the lead in the second call? B. Everyone agree? The answer is wrong. Can I have you two gentlemen come up for a minute? Oh, this is the most massive lesson you're going to learn this weekend. The potential, the kinetic potential. Do you remember Mr. Wright? He is running 22, 45. This is the presser. In fact, let's even make it tougher. This is an early presser. This is a guy that likes to run one length behind. He's running along, he's done 22. Where is he going to be? Behind him.